Call this meeting to order. First item on the agenda is attendance, and today's attendance question is, what's your favorite question to ask to people? People is defined however you want. Mr. Director Tabin?
Senator Wicklund.
Oh gosh. I like to ask really jarringly deep questions that are probably really negative sometimes, like, what's your biggest life regret? Get to know a lot about a person from that.
Senator Oscar? Senator Anderson?
I don't know. That's my answer.
Senator Condon?
What's your name?
Senator Kalyani? Senator Shugel?
What's your spirit animal?
Senator Beerspa?
Favorite color?
Senator Allen?
Where do you want to travel in the world?
Senator Hagianis?
What's your favorite animal?
Senator Braun? Senator Concepcion?
What would you name your first pet?
Senator Fan?
What's your favorite?
Senator Young?
What's your major? What's your year?
Senator Lane?
Who is Jesus to you?
Senator Simon?
What's your favorite place to be?
Senator Seon?
Where do you work?
Senator, Technology Director Fan?
How are you?
Finance Director Keeley?
What's your favorite place you've been to?
Ombudsperson O'Neill?
Oswald.
Parliamentarian Edwin?
Where are you from and why are you here?
Chair Tram Nguyen?
How's it going?
Chair Han Nguyen?
What's the focus of your existence?
Chair Mir?
Where is home for you?
Chair Harbeck?
Dream vacation.
Chair Anderson?
What's the first story that comes to mind when I say the color pink?
Controller Arshad?
I ask a lot of questions, so no specific one.
Co-President Svensson?
Sock, sock, shoe, shoe, or sock, shoe, sock, shoe?
Co-President Nicabriano?
What are you learning? Administrative Director Tabin?
I really like the question, do you have capacity right now?
With that, quorum is met. The next item on the agenda is approval of the minutes from last Monday, October the 30th. Are there any objections to the minutes? Objections? Seeing none, the minutes are approved. Next, we have community comment. Do you have any of our community comment? We have the floor.
So first of all, I'd just like to report on my faculty committee. I'm a student representative to the Faculty Committee for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. So just an update to Student Senate for that is not much has been done so far. We only meet once a month throughout the semester. And so far, we've just kind of been talking about the nature of the committee because the President's Council for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion was created 2 years ago now. So the Faculty Committee is still trying to figure out what their identity is and what they should be working with at this time, since the President's Council has kind of picked up a lot of what they were doing. And that's about all that's happened there. And then I also, in my capacity as a community member, wanted to talk about the issue of sexual assault a little bit. So I just want to give a content warning. I'm about to talk about the fondling incidents reported to the campus last week by campus safety and how Gustavus has handled sexual assault in my time here. I will ultimately be calling to question how we have and how we do handle cases of sexual assault. If this is sensitive material for you, it may be best to leave for the duration of my community comment. If anyone feels the need to leave at any time, feel free to. When I'm done, if someone's in the hallway, I can go back and tell them that it's over. On Tuesday, October 31st of last week, campus safety issued a timely warning per the Clery Act to the campus on recurring incidents of forced fondling. When reading about these issues, I was met with feelings of helplessness and terror. What might it have been like in those situations? How far will the perpetrators take this? Will anyone help me? Will anyone believe me? Will I have to see these men on campus for the next 3 years and pretend that everything is okay? That I'm not still frightened by them? Well, I have to wonder how many other women he has done this to, if they feel the same way I do. In the spring of my sophomore year at Gustavus, two unannounced sexual assault cases were brought to light on campus after the St. Peter Herald reported on the alleged rapist in both incidents at Gustavus and the Gustavus student who was being charged by Nicollet County. Two women were reported to have been sexually assaulted on December 13, 2016 by the same perpetrator to Gustavus campus safety. Both women pursued sanctions for the perpetrator on campus, as well as filed a report with the St. Peter Police Department. The perpetrator has since been charged with two felonies and one misdemeanor in sexual misconduct. Since facing the accusations and charges, the perpetrator had been allowed to participate in varsity men's ice hockey at Gustavus. Despite college commitment to adjudicating sexual assault cases within 4 to 6 weeks, that process had been lengthened for his case. It appeared that the first time many Gustavus students heard about this case was on February 3rd, almost 3 months after the incident, after a February 2nd St. Peter Herald article was shared to social media. Students and faculty expressed concern for having been informed about this case in such a manner and have called into question possible violations of campus policy, Title IX rights, and the Clery Act. I was asked by an executive member of the President's Council for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion to write a legal brief on the context of this assault in my sophomore year and how the campus handled sexual assault. I would like to share a timeline of the events with you that I uncovered in my research. December 12th and December 13th, 2016, in between those 2 dates. Both incidents had occurred. Surviving victim A reported the incident to CADA, which is the in-town resource for sexual violence and partner violence, and made a report to the St. Peter Police Department. A mandated reporter informed campus safety of one of the two incidents involving surviving victim A, and surviving victim B also reported their incident at that time. On January 9th, the perpetrator was on the roster to play the varsity hockey game that was at home. January 16th, perpetrator is reported to have been on the roster to play in the varsity game away. January 28th, perpetrator is charged with criminal conduct offenses, one third degree and one fourth degree felony, as well as one fifth degree misdemeanor. February 2nd, St. Peter Herald reports that the perpetrator has been charged with two felony criminal sex conduct offenses. February 3rd to 5th, Gustavus student discovers the aforementioned article and shares it via social media. Many students expressed concern for how the incident was not made aware to the campus and whether there had been a violation of both or either Title IX expectations and the Clery Act. Concerns of the perpetrator's presence on campus were expressed. February 6th, the perpetrator was on the roster to play in the varsity hockey home game. February 11th, according to Gustavus standards, the initial adjudication process should have been completed by that time. And also on February 11th, Gustavus campus safety finally informed the campus that two assaults had occurred. And then on March 1st, the perpetrator was due in court. I don't know the results of that. This is the timeline I had from that time. Moving forward. At the time I was working on this brief, a friend of mine opened up to me about their own experience within the adjudication system at Gustavus. For the purpose of brevity, I will only share that they had to tell their story multiple times to get their side of what happened, and they were re-traumatized by the process. Their perpetrator was found guilty by Gustavus and was asked to write an essay and to go to a few counseling sessions. That spring, our adjudication process was called to attention for belief that it had failed multiple victims. A campus committee was created to address this issue. The Women's Awareness Center generated a petition of demands, and ultimately a Title IX coordinator position was created. Since then, I get the sense that our adjudication process is still failing surviving victims. I also get the sense that with pressure from the student body, administration is willing to continue to improve this adjudication process. This summer, I spent some time to watch last year's signature Christmas in Christ Chapel event. As some of you may know, Gustavus is proud that last year's event is going to be nationally broadcasted this year on television around Thanksgiving. And we also hope for this year's program to be nationally broadcasted next year. As a participant in the program, reminiscing upon Christmas in Christ Chapel is usually like a very happy memory for me, very peaceful, and just like something that really brings me a lot of joy. But this year watching it, I noticed the editors and the cameramen happened to unknowingly highlight four men I know to have committed rape, multiple occasions of rape and emotional abuse, physical abuse, and multiple counts of assault respective to each of the four perpetrators. I know all four of those men have been reported to Gustavus, and I know three of those four men still attend Gustavus. And one of those four walked at graduation last year. These are only the four I know of, and I wonder, based on those statistics, how many more men, and perhaps women or non-binary folks, who have committed sexual assault, participate in that program, and will be highlighted this year nationally and celebrated. After the email was released last week, I spoke with a Gustie I have never met who told me the exact same thing happened to her as she was trying to enter her own dorm building earlier in the year. She said she tried to intimidate her potential attackers, and then they left her alone. She said she feared for women who were not as assertive as she is. She believes the men who tried to attack her were intentionally seeking more vulnerable women, as we know many perpetrators of sexual assault do so in hopes that they will never be reported. These are a few examples of sexual assault I have been made aware of in my time at Gustavus. I have more anecdotes, but I'm not really willing to share those, and they're not my stories to tell. And there are likely tens, if not hundreds, more stories floating around campus that other people are aware of. While social scientists generally consider any given campus to be a microcosm of society, I want and I need Gustavus to do better. When I came to Gustavus, I was not afraid. But now I see perpetrators everywhere, and potential perpetrators everywhere, as we are never granted the names of the people who've committed these assaults. How many are there, and who will they harm next? With this, I would like to announce that in my capacity as a senator, I will be making a proposal during our meeting. It is a small one, but I hope in the long run we can continue to consider this issue as a body and continue to push for a safer campus. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
Do you have anyone else for community comment? Community comment? Next, we have committee updates and the floor is for the health and housing check.
So I work with Charlie Potts and we sent a request for cost estimation of needle disposal box on all residential hall on campus and Perryville Hall countertops. We haven't heard back from custodials and facility management yet, but we anticipate hearing from them this week. Regarding the needle disposal box, when we get the cost estimation, Charlie wants to discuss the ability of Senate's partial funding with RESLI because they having no budget for that right now. For Perryview, it's unlikely that there will be a sink installed in that because of the initial design of the building. However, if students really have an urge for a prepping surface, then RESLI can easily put a table in the building. For the project of providing free menstrual products for students, we are currently searching and reaching out for colleges that have implemented similar programs and been successfully maintaining that. We'll get back to you once we get any further information.
Any questions for the health and housing chair? Questions? Questions? Seeing none, we move to the MOPSIS update. MOPSIS is the Minnesota Association for Private College Students, and there is a monthly meeting that three of us, so me, Quinn, and another student at large, Anna Totsky, attend monthly. And in December, we have like a leadership retreat at St. Olaf, and there are two spots open for any of you who would like to attend. So if you are interested or know a student who is interested in that, you can let me or Quinn know and we can forward the link to you so that we have five students per college represented at the retreat. Any questions to that? Questions? Questions? Seeing none, we move into our business. We move into the finance process, and the floor is for the finance check.
All right, so first question we've got is for the Pan-Hellenic Society. They are requesting $1,110, and they have great documentation, and the Finance Committee recommends it in full. And I'll let Olivia talk more about what the Pan-Hellenic Society is and what they're buying or what they're spending money on.
Hi, I'm Olivia. I'm the treasurer for Gustavus College Pan-Hellenic. We are, I guess a lot of people don't know what we are, so we're just a governing body over national sororities on campus. And we're requesting the standard $10 for print money and then $1,100, which is the maximum we can request to attend our Pan-Hellenic Academy this January. And then we'll be covering costs over that with our 9-line funds from collecting dues. Does anyone have questions?
Questions for the finance chair or Greg? Questions? Questions? Very much on at home.
Could you please elaborate on what is going to happen at the academy?
Yeah. So it's in Indianapolis. It's in January, and then we're going to send two officers, and then there's a track at the academy for each officer. So we're probably going to be sending our president and our vice president. So they each go through like a day and a half of kind of intensive training on how to do a good job in their position, skills that they can bring back to the organization and then pass on to people who take their position in the future.
Is this a convention or an academy that you can see the Pan-Hellenic Society taking every year, or?
I don't know that we'll go every year. We haven't been before, so depending on how this year goes. We're also a pretty small organization, so I think a lot of the things we learn can pretty easily be preserved, so I don't know that we'll have to attend every year. I could see us going for a couple of years in a row because we're relatively new on campus. This is our third year functioning and our first year really doing anything as an organization, so I could see us going for a few years. I don't necessarily see us going every year forever.
Okay. I yield.
President Spencer?
So, sorry, I might have missed it. Pan-Hellenic, is that part of, is it involved with Greek life or a part of it?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not a part of the IGS Black budget.
Okay, okay.
If that's like,
yeah, that's
what
exactly
what
I was going towards and wondering. Okay, yeah, so it's not a part of the Black budget, so you guys go through a different like spring budgeting process and everything too?
Right.
Okay, all right, great, thank you, I yield.
Any more questions? 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 Speaker Escobar.
I have a question. So it says lodging 179 per night. You could just need 30 bucks?
Well, I mean, ideally we would have 179, but the bylaws state that we can only request 1,100 for conference attendance.
Oh.
So that's just how we broke it down on there.
Are you?
Any more questions? 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 And now we move into the discussion of the budget. In discussion of the budget. If you want, you can stay. Okay. Okay, right. Discussion of the budget. Senator Allen.
I would strongly recommend passing this budget. I think it's a good opportunity to not only increase the leadership potential of this club, but to also just helped put Gustavus like on another, or like just put them on the map in another area, so they can come back maybe next year or some other year to this conference, maybe more so in a leadership position. I yield.
Senator Whitman.
I'm also in favor of this budget. They're very kind. Seems like they're considerate with the documentation. Everything was together, and then they also were mindful of our bylaws, so I also appreciate that, and it sounds like a conference that will really be able to benefit the group in the long term. With that, I yield.
Any more discussion? 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 Seeing none, moving to the vote of the budget. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. Abstentions? Without, the budget is approved. Next, we have the rugby group and finance here to fall.
Yeah, I'll wait for the women's rugby.
They're outside.
They're outside. Okay.
I
yeah, I can come on.
this discussion, could President Swenson be abstaining from speaking since she is a member of the organization? Well, she's shy that she can't talk, but she's abstaining going further.
So this is the women's rugby budget. They recently won the Minnesota State Tournament and are now going to Nationals, so they need funding for this tournament. It is breaking two bylaws. The total budget is for $5,523.60. One bylaw is in paying for something retroactively, and then other bylaw as in funding for registration fees and other general expenses exceeding $4,000 in any given year. This would then bring their budget up to $11,523.60 for this school year. And as far as their documentation was good. And the Finance Committee recommends the budget as $5,523.60. But I will let the women's rugby team kind of explain it a little bit more. And yeah.
I'm Tori Mbakla. I'm a captain on the Gazebo's women's rugby team.
And I'm Krista White. I'm the other captain.
I'm Sarah Breeler. I'm the treasurer.
So rugby at Gustavus, we're an all-inclusive group. We focus a lot on body positivity and doing a lot on campus outside of rugby. So we've done service projects, pink out games, and we've hosted different Gutsy Ever Dark, SNL events, things like that. So we're really involved on campus. We've been established on here since 1984. We've had a lot of success in the past. But right now what we're trying to do is advance on in the national playoffs. So we're the number one D3 school in Minnesota, which is pretty exciting. That makes us top 16 in the nation, so we're going on to Sweet 16. And so that's what we're hoping to do with the Senate funding, should it be approved. And then a little bit about why you're getting this now. So we only found out a week ago we won the tournament and were able to advance on. So we've only known for a little bit, and as soon as that came out that we'd be going to Ohio versus Nebraska like we normally do, we got on top of talking to different bus companies, looking at using the cheapest bus, looking into hotels and trying to really research the cheapest options. And so we have different quotes, and these are our best research, the most inexpensive options that we can find. And so that's one of the reasons that you're getting this time. An important thing with rugby for our league, they enforce a rule that if you're eligible to advance onward in a tournament, in playoffs, and you aren't able to, if you forfeit, then you forfeit your right to advance on the following year. Yeah. So it's really important for us that we do move on so that the team next year has a chance to as well. And we try to make the club as inclusive as possible, so our dues are very low so that everyone can play. But that makes us harder sometimes when we do get opportunities like this to move on.
Yeah, and we are working on other fundraising methods with our alumni and stuff, but it's just not going to be enough and not going to be in time to cover these costs.
Do you have any questions for the finance director or the organization's reps?
I have quotes.
Excuse me, please keep going.
Oh, no, I was just saying, I have bus quotes and hotel quotes if anyone wanted them passed around
okay.
To look at.
All right, very nice director, you have a phone?
Yeah, I have a question for the team, and also I just want to explain, they sent me three different bus quotes. They have the Gustavus bus, and that's the $4,143.60 up there. And then the other two bus companies ended up being much more. So, and this is what we're approving them. And I don't know.
Yeah, so the Gustavus bus is not actually available to us.
Yeah, I met with our advisor last Friday and told us like 100% chance that we could take it and gave me the name of the bus drivers to get in contact with. But when I called them this weekend, one of them told me he's driving that bus for the women's rugby team, or the women's basketball team on Saturday. So we're actually going to be taking the coach buses, which are more expensive.
And then also, I know you guys won the lip sync battle and got $1,000. Where did that money go?
So that's in our nine line, and that will be used to cover anything that's not covered by you guys.
Okay. I yield.
Senator Wilton.
Question for finance director, finance chair, sorry. You mentioned there were retroactive payments in their budget. Could you tell us or elaborate on that more?
Yeah, so in order for them to get this money, if it is approved today, and since the tournament is this weekend, the finance committee, we can't process those funds quick enough. So they have to spend the money, and then by, I believe next week is next Thursday?
Yeah.
Is the earliest that they can get the money?
Next Thursday or Friday.
Yeah. So that's why it will be funded retroactively. So.
And then I have a few questions for the organization. How many members are you expecting to send to this tournament?
We'll have 23 girls on our team going with.
Okay. And then could you talk a little bit more about like the fundraising efforts that you've tried to pursue? I understand that it's very, very short notice.
So we're working on applying to host another SNL in January so we can raise $500 with that. We do alumni fundraisers, so we have a t-shirt fundraiser going right now where alumni, family, that kind of thing can buy a t-shirt. Proceeds from that go towards it, and a lot of people have been donating.
Yeah, we started and that after we won the tournament last weekend.
Yeah.
That was already up and running after just a week.
And then this winter, we always do, every other year, we do a letter fundraiser where we send that out to alumni, and then three addresses from each teammate, so we send it out pretty widely, and then just receive funds back from that. So it's just a letter drive.
Okay. How successful has the t-shirt fundraising been so far?
I haven't checked recently, so I'm not quite sure what the total is, but I think we've gotten at least over 500 from that, but I'm not sure when we'll actually get that. None
mm-hmm.
of us are the ones that set that up.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Oh, and then how much more is your bus expected to cost, or what's the total cost of the bus that you're able to get?
Yeah,
6,000. Yeah, the cheapest one is
6,000. All right. Thank you. With that, I yield.
Do we have any more questions? Can I chime in at all?
I have two or three questions. First question is, so I know many members of the women's rugby team. I know how passionate you gals are about it, and I want to know, like, so women's rugby as an organization, how long has it been a club sport? How many teams or how many rugby teams are in Minnesota? And also, like, with this, I mean, you're a very good team. Do you see women's rugby evolving into an NCAA-funded sport at Gustavus? And are there NCAA-sanctioned women's rugby teams in Minnesota?
So I know a couple years ago, before we were up on the team, they made a push with the school to go varsity. So we've been a club sport since 1983. And then a couple years ago, they made a push to move upward, but we would be the first team that's a varsity rugby club, or a varsity rugby team in Minnesota, and so they wanted to wait till other schools.
We wouldn't have like a bracket or other teams to play against that
yeah.
were also varsity.
Yeah,
because they're all club
yeah.
sports in the state.
Yeah, but there's most colleges, so we compete against teams like UMD and SU, Winona, things like that, but there are also teams at Scholastica, St. Olaf, most colleges, I guess, do. I don't know the total.
I think most of the schools that our varsity sports play, we do end up playing.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we play St. Ben's, we play Carleton and St. Olaf, McAllister, and then we also have played Winona State and, like, Mankato and
Duluth. So we were playing D2 schools this year as a D3 team and doing very well.
Okay, and will the teams that are in the tournament in Ohio, are most of those club teams, or?
We have no idea.
Okay.
Because we're not even sure who exactly we're playing.
Okay.
Yeah. Most likely there'll be club teams from around Ohio and New York.
Okay.
We're in the central regional playoffs, so like the Sweet 16, there's four different tournaments, like the one that we're going to be going to around the entire state or the entire country. And then the top seed from each of those tournaments, the top four, then we'll go on to the international tournament.
Okay. I yield now.
Senator turn.
And then one more question for the team. Just I personally, I'm in favor of trying our very best to make this happen for you, but it does break a few bylaws. It is quite a large budget. Do you have a sense of how much your members might be able to help contribute to this? Should we not be able to fund you in full?
Do you mean like members paying like more dues up front or?
Yeah.
This isn't really something that we've broached with the team because we do try and make it so that everybody can participate.
Yep.
But I'm sure that like if need be, people would be willing to pay, but obviously there's some people who it just wouldn't be feasible for.
Yeah.
And so we want to make it so that everybody can participate.
Mm-hmm.
We have several players who do different like payment plans, and what, so like the $50 fee like at the beginning of, is even a lot for them.
Thank you.
Do you have any more questions? Questions?
I have a question.
Am I trying at home?
So I'm just wondering, so Finance Chair Healy mentioned like $1,000 that would be supplemental to this funding. The bylaw of being over $4,000 would need to be broken. I'm just wondering, would you consider including that $1,000 to cover $1,000 and knock $1,000 off of this? Or is that something that's just like, you didn't want to have to do that, so that's why it's over $5,000 right now?
The problem with that is that if we don't get this extra funding for this season, we're a full year sport, so we have a fall and spring season. And if we have to, pull into our spring season this early in the fall, then we're going to have either a shorter season or not be able to attend the tournaments that we do in the spring, which is like our rebuilding season for the younger players to get more time.
Okay. I yield.
Any more questions? Almost personal, anyone?
So is this the budget as it stands right now? Is this the budget we're considering even though the bus will be more expensive?
This is the budget that we are considering right now. So this bus is the GAC bus that is unavailable, but this is the budget that's considered. This is what the Finance Committee approved.
The other
one? Yes, sir.
Senator Allen?
So for the team, how do you think it will help? How do you think that this tournament will help Gustavus? Like, will it help recruitment, or can you elaborate on that?
I think in terms of recruitment, as well as just making our current players a lot better, we will be seeing teams that we have never played before. And just getting to advance on this far is really great for recruitment. It's good for team confidence. We're getting exposure to more teams, we're in everything. For sure, we usually like to talk about this to get more people into it, get people included.
And we'd be getting the Gustavus name out there too. Like, we've never gone and played in Ohio before, and so none of these teams will know who we are. And hopefully after this tournament, they'll be like, oh wow, that Gustavus women's rugby team, they're pretty good.
One of the reasons we got moved into this Ohio league was because our Minnesota league commissioner thought that we had a really competitive team, and they wanted to see how far we could go and to see how well we could do at the Sweet 16 tournament. And so that's why we got switched over, because the Minnesota Rugby Union thinks that we can do very well at this level. a competition.
Do you have any more questions, Senator Wiglund?
Just a question that I'm interested in. So you talked about how you've competed against like varsity teams, like Division II teams, correct?
Mm-hmm.
To get kind of the recognition within Minnesota that you have, did you beat those teams as well? Okay, awesome.
Well, we didn't beat Winona, but Winona is like first in the nation. They're a really good team, but we did beat MSU,
UMD.
And UMD.
And then
so.
Morehead, we beat them to move on towards nationals.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
Any more questions? Speaker as well.
So I have a question for the team. It says that the hotel costs are $1,380. How long is this tournament for though? So like for example, if you guys win the first round, then obviously you'll go out to the second round. Do you think that's...
So those hotel costs are for two nights at a hotel in Columbus. It was the cheapest hotel that we could find that didn't seem like incredibly sketchy because we don't really want to stay at a sketchy hotel.
Yeah.
And that was cost for six rooms for our players, two for the bus drivers because the bus drivers each need their individual rooms, as well as a room for our coach.
No, that's completely fine. But like, that'd be just 2 days though.
Yes.
But like if you guys win, the whole tournament is 2 days?
No, so the Nationals tournament, like if we win this, the Nationals tournament will be in December.
This is like, this is all like Nationals playoffs, but this is like the first round, I guess, and then the final four is in December.
Do we have any more questions? Financial at home?
So the national tournament, would you be coming back to seek more funding for that potentially? I know it's something you might not want to think about at this point.
I think that's kind of where we want, like that additional $1,000 or any like alumni funding we can go. We're hoping to be able to cover it. We might have our ground set a little bit more for that. We've got 3 weeks to prepare versus the quick turnaround time that we had. So we might be able to, we aren't quite sure, but we're hoping to maybe.
Yeah, we're hoping that we'd be able to do a lot more fundraising if that happens, because I know like our alumni and like families would find that really impressive and would really want to support us.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're hoping that for Nationals we would be able to self-fundraise, but obviously we don't know for sure.
I yield.
Questions? Seeing none, we move into a discussion of the budget as proposed and recommended by the Finance Committee. Discussion of the budget. Speaker Askel.
I think we should approve it because for like the club sport, it's such a big deal that they got into Nationals. And then they work hard for this, and especially because if they don't go this year, they won't be able to do it next year. So what's the point of competing in a sport when you know you won't be able to move forward? So I yield.
Discussion, Senator Wilton.
I do think that getting this team to, is this considered regional tournament? Sorry.
It's regional playoffs.
Okay.
To go to national.
I think getting this team to regional playoffs is super important. Like, this is a group of amazing women, like, going out there, doing an amazing job, representing Gustavus in a great way, like, best team in Minnesota, oh my goodness. but this is a very large budget. It does break two bylaws. I personally think we shouldn't really be concerned about the retroactive payment bylaw, just because they did do their best to try and get this budget to us as soon as possible, and they are submitting it before having to get everything together.
Point of information, I believe it actually breaks three bylaws looking under the hotel costs at $1,380. The bylaw says that it should be a maximum of $1,100 for, wait a minute, for club sports it's different?
Yes.
That's for conventions, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll keep talking.
Sorry.
This budget is incredibly sizable to consider, and I do think that we should have good discussion about this because it is a large budget. But like I said previously, I do think it's super important that we do our best to get this team to regional playoffs. With that, I yield.
Senator Lang.
Well.
I have some things to comment on. I do think that they did a really good job with getting things in timely and complying with the finance committee's requests. And their documentation seems to be good. I also think that it's a really important thing that we try our best to get them to this tournament for this year, but also to open it up for next year. Something that I want us to discuss a little bit more on is the implications of what we do here for other club sports and other sports that may come to us with a budget. We would be breaking two bylaws, and would also be, well, there is a chance of us being accused of favoritism towards the women's rugby because of the standing, and I really appreciate that our co-president is abstaining from discussion, but we need to be careful for how we proceed in this, just so that we can hold our heads high and be sure that we're not being favoritism towards anyone. And also, we need to be sure of what we're exactly saying to other club sports should they come up and act as this as a president at you.
Senator Fonda?
As a member of Finance Committee, I think this is a really good opportunity for them to be able to get out there and play their competition and be able to recruit other players to join their team. I know it's a lot of money, but I don't think that's as big of an issue considering they're asking for less money than they even need just to get the buses to go there. I think it's reasonable of them to ask, and they're not asking even for Senate to cover the entire cost. So that's why I'm in favor of passing the budget since they're putting everything possible.
I just wanted to say that everyone should keep in mind that even though this is a huge budget, if we pass this budget as it is, we will have a contingency of $59,367 left after that, which is a pretty good sum of money for the rest of the mid-year allocations. So yeah, just keep that in mind. Are you?
Jamia?
In response to Senator Lang, I don't really see the issue of favoritism playing out. I don't think any other club sport can really boast that, like, this level of recognition that women's rugby at Gustavus has, like, saying that they're the best in Minnesota and have a chance of even getting nationals. I don't think any other club sport is at that level, like, not even close, I feel.
Senator Kalyani?
I agree with Diversity Chair. I feel like right now it's like an issue of seeing potential more than like favoritism. And if we keep on seeing students coming up with such potential, I feel like Senate would definitely be supportive. And with that, I feel that we should agree with the budget.
Point of personal privilege. The room's really cold. Would people be opposed if I turned up the thermostat over here a little bit?
How much? Just a little bit.
5 degrees?
It's okay, I'll walk back in.
We're into the discussion of the budget. Do we have any more discussion on this budget? Senator Steinwalt.
I just have a question for anybody. So since this breaks two bylaws, does that have any implications beyond, like, if we all agree, then it goes through, or is there more to it than that?
For this to pass, we need a two-third vote to pass, so we're doing a roll call vote for this to pass, and what this does is simply sets a precedent for maybe future cases. There is no more impact beyond that. Almost personally.
Yeah, other than the two-thirds vote, there's not really anything that says that we can't do that. With that being said, I think it's important to stick by the bylaws, but given the nature of the timeline and the fact that they didn't just like figure out this was a tournament they could sign up for and it'd be good, but they have earned their way to this spot, I think it's fine as long as the finance committee says this amount of funds is good. I think it'd be fine to go ahead.
Do you yell to Senator Wicklund?
I would like to motion to fund the bus costs to the full $6,000 of the like new bus that they have to get.
Do you have a second? Second goes to Senator Asgard. I'd like to move into discussion of an amendment of the budget to go to funding in full the bus cost for years.
Yeah, so I made this motion because it sounds like they're trying to fund a lot of things and that kind of expecting them to have this added almost $2,000 to their own budget that they have to plan out could definitely harm like the ability of members being able to go if they have to help pay for it. And also just the organization as they move into their spring season having to alter their budget accordingly. So I do think it's important that we can fund that in full for them with that I yield.
Said Speaker Scott.
Oh, I echo what the previous speaker just said, but I have a question for the finance guy. I'd be fine with funding one extra 1,000.
Yeah, it'll end up being, so if they, from the documentation that they sent me, it'll be about $5,000, $5,803.25, which that makes it about 1,100 more than for bus costs than what they are proposing, or than what they are asking for. So I just keep that in mind, so that this would bring the budget up to, I'll get the exact numbers to you, but it's up to around $6,600.
And then I'd just like to friendly my amendment to match the number that our finance chair has documentation for.
Any more discussion on the amendment? Discussion on the amendment? Discussion on the amendment?
I think it's an appropriate amendment given the short amount of time that they've known about this, and they just found out like on Saturday or whatever they said that they couldn't use the Gustavus bus for this. So it's like not their fault that they have to pay more money to get to the tournament. So I approve this amendment. I yield.
More discussion on the amendment. Director Keeley.
So I just did the numbers. Pardon my mental math. It'll be exactly $7,053.25 for the full budget.
And how much would the
So the bus cost would be $5,803.25. And then the hotel costs would be decreased. Yeah, do you want me to? I can send you the updated file if you want. Does work.
Sure.
Okay.
We are still on discussion of the amendment. Discussion of the amendment.
I don't think I didn't motion to amend this. I motioned to like just straight up fund that amount. So it's not like an amendment. It's just like mine voting.
Needs to be amendment
first.
Okay.
Okay, I guess I meant
the
cool.
All right.
Ombudsperson
O'Neill.
I'm all in favor of making it as easy as possible for them to get there. With that being said, I think it is important to consider that other clubs will come to us with whatever budgets, and if we're kind of get in the habit of allocating more than they ask for and more than the finance recommends, then that's something that we need to consider and make sure we're all on board with. I yield.
Senator Allen?
In response to the previous speaker, I don't think that will be personally an issue because I think we have to consider the precedent we're setting is solely a precedent of saying we only have this certain amount of time to raise the necessary funds. So I think we need to keep the period of time we have in our minds when we're making this decision. I yield.
Discussion of the amendment. Discussion. Seeing none, moving to the vote.
Can we get the
yep.
Budget?
Just sent it.
I'm going to wait a few seconds until the budget is up on the screen.
right now we have amendment to the budget, which brings the total amount to $7,053.25. And we are going to move into a vote, and this amendment directs the bylaws are going to get 2/3 vote for this amendment to pass. All right, we're going to vote on the amendment, and those in favor of the amendment opposed say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say nay. Abstentions?
Abstaining.
With that, the amendment passes. We are back into the discussion of the budget as amended. We have Senator Wickman, you have the floor.
I yield.
Have you mentioned it at home?
So I am in full support of the women's rugby team going to this tournament. I'm conflicted because of the bylaws being broken. I would suggest that after we vote on this, actually have a question for Finance Committee. Is there what is the maximum amount of money that a club sport is funded, and or is there a section pertaining to playoffs, and if the team shall require additional funding in the bylaws?
The maximum amount that a team can be funded for any given year is $4,000 for registration fees, tournament fees, all of that, and then $1,000 for a coach. So they went through the spring budgeting this past spring and have received $5,000 already.
Okay.
And that's all, I think that's all there is there. And
okay.
I don't believe, I could check, but I don't believe there's anything on playoffs. Yeah.
Okay. I think that is a conversation that our society should have after this. I yield.
Do you have any more discussion on this? Discussion on the budget as amended. Discussion. Seeing none, we're going to move into the vote to approve or not approve the budget as amended. We're going to do a roll call vote since this breaks a bylaw. This is going to require a 2/3 vote, and I'm going to give the floor to Administrative Director Taven to do the roll call vote.
Senator Wickland?
Aye.
Senator Asgard?
Aye.
Senator Anderson?
Aye.
Senator Fonder?
Aye.
Senator Kalyani?
Aye.
Senator Shugel?
Aye.
Senator Beersba?
Aye.
Senator Allen?
Abstaining.
Senator Hagianis?
Aye.
Senator Braun? Senator Concepcion?
Aye.
Senator Fan?
Aye.
Senator Young?
Aye.
Senator Lang?
Aye.
Senator Steinwand?
Aye.
Senator Seyong?
Aye.
That the budget passes. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So the finance chair will be in contact with you about the budget later next week when it's available. Thank you. Next item on the agenda, we have old business, and the floor belongs to the parliamentary ad hoc.
All right, back to business. So we have two rules to go over this week. The our continuation of the two from last week about the bylaws and the Constitution, having to do with special rules of order. So the special rule of order here would be different than what we have as our foundation of the rules, as Robert's rules, but they would be more just tailored to what Student Senate needs are. So they also cannot break any bylaws, or this does and doesn't pertain, but like local, state, and federal policy. And then they must be printed under a separate heading in the bylaws of the organization. They are debatable, they are amendable, and they require previous notice and 2/3 vote, or a majority of our organization. And they are also rescindable on a negative vote only. And then the next rule is the ordinary standing rule. So that would be like the time of our meeting. So if something like arises that we cannot like have this room at 7, yet this is our normal time, we would have an ordinary rule that requires a second and would also need its separate section under the bylaws. And then, as well, these are debatable, amendable, rescindable, and this one actually would only require a majority vote. I know it's kind of bland, but I think it is important for us to know these, and I think that if all of you take notes, if you foresee like wanting to know Robert's rules more, or if you like foresee joining an organization even after college, that you can you know the Robert's rules too. It's very important, and it would make you more prepared for that as well. So, does anyone have any questions? Yes.
Can you go back to the first one?
Yeah.
So what does this mean?
Special rule? A special rule?
Yeah.
Okay, so there would be like, say, a resolution brought to the floor, like, be it resolved that, and then X rule, that would go in the bylaws, that would be different than what we are already following in Robert's rules, or it might be a little bit more specific. So it could be something like, be it resolved that under X circumstance, we as an organization require a 2/3 vote rather than a majority vote, or something along those lines.
Do we have any of these in our bylaws?
We do not have a separate section, as far as I'm aware.
Technically, like the ones that we have for budgets and stuff that we require for being 2/3 votes and all that would apply to that, because Robert's Rules doesn't have votes on that. We also don't allow for, our Constitution doesn't allow for proxies or anything like that, and so like as far as the government documents go for Senate, it goes Constitution, bylaws, Robert's Rules. So anything that isn't outlined in Constitution or bylaws comes from Robert's Rules, but Constitution trumps all, then bylaws trump Robert's Rules.
Is there a Robert rule for adopting a special rule that does not abide by state, local, and federal policy?
Those trump the organization. For our society, local, state, and federal policy trumps our constitution. So, no. Any further questions? No. Okay, thank you. Under 5 minutes again.
Thank you for mentioning the bomb. We are still in all business. Do we have anything for all business? Old business. Seeing none, we are going to move into new business. Do you have anything for new business? Speak as well.
So I have two issues which I would like to address. First, a constituent of, actually it's not mine, it's class of 2020. They came up to me, they want a German minor. So they wanted me to talk to students affair. Is it students affair?
Student
academic affairs, look into if Casavis could have a German minor. Like a minor in German.
Oh, German minor, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And the second one was for health and housing. So people in Yule, they think because the water in Yule takes too long to get warm, hot water when they're taking showers, so they waste a lot of water. But some people don't like wasting a lot of water. So they would prefer if things could be done differently so the water is warm as they open the, I don't know, you know what I'm trying to say. So, you know, is anybody gonna explain? Never mind. So the water in the sink takes too long to get warm. So all they want is something to be checked or something to be done because people don't like wasting water. Sometimes when they go to take a shower, they'll turn the water on, they'll brush their teeth, but they still are waiting for water to get warm. And they don't want to waste water. So they came up to me, so I can bring up to them. With that, I lead.
What would you like to make?
A motion. Yeah, I would like to make a motion for the Health and Housing Committee to look into the fact, to look into what can be done in Yule so that the water takes less time to get warm.
Do you have a second? Second goes to Senator Shugo. I'm going to move into the discussion of the motion. The floor is yours.
I yield.
Discussion of the motion. Chair Nguyen.
Can I have more information of any other buildings that have similar problem with just Euler?
Any other buildings? Senators? Senator Wilson.
I don't have another building, but something to consider, or I guess a question for Speaker Asghar is, have your constituents, like, or anyone in that building filed a maintenance request to have the plumbing looked at?
I don't think so.
Okay.
So I should request that. Oh,
yeah.
I could do that. I could tell them.
With that in mind, I think the best path forward is just to have the maintenance request be submitted, and then if that doesn't work out, to bring it to Senate, with that I yield.
Sweet.
Discussion. We're going to see discussion of the motion. Discussion. Chairman.
I echo what Senator, the previous speaker has said. Just a reminder, if your residents want to press that to make a change, especially a major change, then please tell them firstly to submit maintenance requests so they have documentation. It's just easier for us together to work with the communities.
All right.
And
do you still want your motion on the floor?
No.
All right.
Did you have another?
You had another charge as well. So this
I would like to make a motion to charge our student academic affairs chair to look into having a minor offered in German.
Second goes to Senator Young. Discussion of the motion. Before he goes. Chair Anderson.
If this passes, I would recommend that you talk to Frau Bay because Frau Bay has been working on getting a German minor for about 3 years now. She's identified classes in other departments and has petitioned the college already to make that a thing. So it's something that's already being worked on. I yield.
Senator Steinman.
I was just going to say the same thing. I took German here and she's working on it really hard and she's pushing for it and already has it all laid out. And I think she actually brought it in front of the faculty committee.
Discussion of the motion. Discussion. Senator Wakeland.
It's okay, I yield.
Senator Young?
I'm familiar with the student who brought the charge. It's the same one that asked me to bring the same charge. The professor had asked the students to reach out if they knew people in Senate to bring it up as an issue because it had been kind of placed on the back burner by the faculty and hoping to bring other avenues to make it more prominent. It's just the information I'm aware of. I yield.
To me, it kind of sounds like maybe it's hard to push through the faculty just because we have a lot of budgeting issues and all of that on campus and a lot of bureaucracy as far as like creating new minors and stuff, because at the same time the campus is really pushing like institutionally to try and reduce the number of like majors and minors we already offer just for budgeting reasons. So I can see where that's getting pushed back. And with that in mind, I do think it's important, especially if students want this, that Student Senate does announce our interest in having this pushed forward. With that, I yield.
More discussion on motion? Senator Shugo?
With the curriculum being redone essentially right now, curriculum committee has been focusing on just like small issues, so like changing like minor things in majors and minors. So I can like give some insight that like majors and minors, like making them or adding new ones are like on the back burner at the moment, just in general. I yield.
Discussion on the motion. Discussion. Discussion. Seeing none, we're going to move into a vote for the student first committee to look into the possibility to have a German minor. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say nay. Abstentions. With that, the motion passes. We are back into new business. Do we have any more things for new business? Senator Wickler.
That is my name, yes. So I gave a speech earlier about sexual assault on this campus. I believe that it could be handled better than it is currently. And with that in mind, I motion to charge the diversity committee to draft a resolution condemning sexual violence on campus and encouraging administration to enforce zero tolerance policies with high stakes consequences against those found liable for sexual violence, with the exception of should surviving victims want like more lenience towards their perpetrators, that they could have a say in that.
We have a second. Second goes to speak as go. Going to move into the discussion of the motion. Senator Wigman.
I gave a long speech, so I think that's enough. Yield.
Senator Allen?
I wholeheartedly agree. Being here for 2 months, I've had my own experiences with that, and I don't think that's okay. And I've had friends who've had it worse than me, and I just think we need to do something about it, because if the administration isn't, I think the only change that's going to happen is from the students. And with that, I yield.
President Spencer?
First, do you have the language for that completely written out so that we can make sure that we have the charge, or like so that we like
vaguely.
Would you like to be able to type
it?
Okay, she's on your committee and everything, so the
yes.
The yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, I think that if anything happens, there needs to be a push from students, and I think that that's the voice that gets listened to when it comes to these sort of issues. That's what administrators are listening to, and so if it's something that students see as something, I think that it's something that administration needs to listen to. So, I yield.
Chair Anderson?
So I think that whatever conversation we have in this room tonight is going to be a really great start, but I would really encourage representatives to really talk to their constituencies about how they feel about this from a more general campus standpoint. I know 2 years ago when I was a fund representative and we had a long multi-week discussion about possibly endorsing a petition that the WAC had and everything else when it comes to sexual assault, that component of zero tolerance was very pivotal and controversial, and I just don't know if that support is now here on campus for that type of policy, or if we might still lean the other way on that. I yield.
Chamier?
Oh, I yield.
Discussion on the motion. Discussion on the motion. I want to remind everyone that any discussion that happens here will help the diversity committee to draft something that accurately represents the opinions in the room. So I encourage everyone to voice their opinions on this. Co-President Benson?
Can you just read it off for me one more time so I can hear all the parts to it?
Yes.
So I motion to charge the diversity committee to draft a resolution condemning sexual violence on campus and encouraging administration to enforce zero tolerance policies with high stakes consequences against those found liable for sexual violence while considering desired outcomes of victim survivors.
Okay. I know that there is also, I would suggest also, like, with this, if it passes, being in contact with Title IX, talking about the current policies that we have here. I know that there are also, I can't remember the exact name of the committee that there is, but I know that, I believe
I'm not
that
sure it still exists.
Okay.
Because there was a sexual assault committee that was created,
yeah,
and then they ended up with the solution of a Title IX coordinator, and I think they may have diffused since then.
Okay. All right. So if they've diffused, I know that there are students here on this campus who are very passionate about this, who helped with the language that was put in place now that we have, and could definitely be reached out to if they so choose to be. And so I think that there's, if we write the resolution, there are definitely numerous places where we can get input on writing this, so that way it can be something feasible that administration, that it would be not just a resolution, but actually like a plan that we give to administration and tell them kind of exactly what we want to see. I yield.
Senator Shugo?
Oh, never mind, I yield.
Senator Anderson?
For a piece of information, that task force does not exist as a task force anymore, but does still exist on campus. President Bergman was very adamant that it still exists in some form. I don't remember their title officially anymore, but I yield.
I didn't put an exact like timeline that the diversity committee should come back with this, so I think it might be good to just keep it informal and hope for the next 2 to 3 weeks, just so we have time to talk to like Women's Awareness Center, and also consult with that sexual assault committee, and then also consult with the President's Council for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, because in their blueprint, they do have a section dedicated to safety and security on campus. I yield.
I just have a question for anyone to answer. So when something like this happens and like a person gets, you know, that it's for sure that they did it, when the campus safety sends out the report, why don't they tell the name of that person to the community?
I could maybe speak to this. What I was told when I was looking into it my sophomore year is that it's really tricky with FERPA, which is like a family and individual right protection thing, where the campus is afraid that they'll be liable for like incriminating this person or like be sued basically if they released their name.
I just pulled up the campus policy on this, and under confidentiality it states the college will respect the confidentiality of the sexual assault, it says victim but should be survivor, and the alleged offenders as much as possible, consistent with the college's legal obligations. So it sounds like it has to do with just legal obligations of the entirety of the college.
We do have an alumna who is very familiar with the language of like FERPA, Title IX, and Clery Act, so I'll probably get in contact with her. Because there are different interpretations of these, and like if you trumped FERPA with Clery Act, then we should get to know their name, because like we should have a warning of like who might assault people. So I'll get in contact with her too to discuss that. Yeah.
Any more discussion? Discussion. Seeing none, moving to the vote. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay.
Abstentions? That the motion passes. We are back into new business. Do we have any more items for new business? New business. Senator Woodrum?
Our parliamentarian brought up earlier that we just funded a team that is not NCAA. What are they called? I forgot.
Club
team, yes, that is the word. We just funded a club team without prior kind of precedent or language in our bylaws about funding a team should they like gain this kind of recognition and move on into like regional playoffs. The parliamentarian recommended that we add language about that. So I'd like to discuss that. Personally, I'm kind of opposed to adding language because as a team gets this much recognition for Gustavus, I think Gustavus should kind of step up more to help fund them. Because like if we think about it, for Christmas in Christ Chapel, we've just been accepted into national broadcasting. And this year, Gustavus is now investing like a ton more money into it. We're getting brand new risers. We're getting like LED backdrops for it, like crazy stuff. Just because we're getting like this national recognition. So in the same kind of stride where it really helps with our marketing and like the Gustavus image, I would almost hope that we could kind of pressure administration and Gustavus a little bit more to try and have more leeway and to fund groups like this in the future. With that, I yield.
We are still in the business. We need to play materials at all.
So I think it's important to have language considering that we are breaking that we broke two bylaws to pass this the budget, so that just simply for the sake of protecting the bylaws and honoring them, that we would have language that would consider club teams that would potentially, or if they reach a situation where they need, where they can continue playing playoffs and they need additional funding, that would exceed their original $4,000 plus $5,000 from the spring budget, that we would have that in the bylaws and that we wouldn't be breaking bylaws if this happens again. I yield.
We are still in business. Any more items in your business?
Regarding what the past speaker said, I'm in favor of at least discussing this, just because it is a pretty big deal to break a bylaw, and I think if we at least put a limit or at least a number there on potential playoff costs, I think that'd be a pretty good idea. Putting it in word. I yield.
If anyone feels strongly about discussion, there should be a motion to move into a discussion. Senator Wicklund?
Motion to move into discussion about adding language into our bylaws regarding club teams who like move on to national or regional tournaments.
Okay, second. Senator Oscar has a second. We're going to move into the discussion. Senator Wicklund?
I do think this discussion is important. My personal stance on this is that I'm not in favor, just because I do think that instead of directing our energies towards amending our bylaws, perhaps it would be better to direct them towards like making some sort of resolution just saying we encourage Gustavus to try and find funding for groups like this that move forward. With that, I yield.
Ombudsperson O'Neill?
I might suggest that somebody move to create a proxy committee with some members of the ethics committee and some members of the finance committee to discuss this and maybe come back with something. I yield.
President Svensson?
From my knowledge of organizations that have come in throughout the years, I think that as far as club sports, there's a total of three sports that actually have like club teams that I'm aware of. Otherwise, a lot of the stuff is intramural. But there would only be three different sports that you would be outlining that for. And I know one of them, as a club sport, has a recognized NCAA. They are recognized by the NCAA, and we have them as varsity sports, but then there's also a club sport on top of that. So
as someone who favors having less bylaws, just from knowing how it can kind of muddy the thing, everything up, I don't know if there's particularly a need to create an entire section for playoffs for club teams if you only have, I think, three potential organizations that it would apply to, just for thought. That being said, it is very stressful to have to try and figure out where all this money is coming from when you aren't supported by the school. So as a previous speaker mentioned, I think it would be nice to see some support from the college. I yield.
Chair Keeley.
I would just like to add that there are a few more club sports teams than three. There's so club tennis, there's the dance team, there is rugby, men's Nordic ski, and men's lacrosse, and then women's lacrosse, women's Nordic ski, and women's rugby. So there are a considerable amount of club sports around campus that could potentially have this affect them. I yield.
Senator Allen?
Point of inquiry. I don't know if you know this, but how many of those sports teams have like playoffs that would require funding from the school or senate?
That's a
say?
Great question. I know dance team goes to nationals. Not sure about Nordic ski if they compete like that. We just saw the rugby team. I could look into it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any more discussion on this? Discussion. Seeing none, the floor is back to Senator Whitburn, who motioned to move it to discussion.
I would like to charge student and academic affairs with looking into language for a resolution encouraging Gustavus to support club sports in the future, especially as they get a lot more success. I think this would be something that would be a little bit hard to work on and very abstract just as far as like where the funding might come from and stuff, but I do think it's important that we make it known that we think Gustavus should step up here as teams gain recognition.
Is there a second? Second, Mr. Senator Allen. We're going to move into the discussion. Put the motion charged to the Student Academic Affairs Committee. Discussion?
The thing I just said, I yield.
Senator Young?
Question for Senator Wicklund. What do you mean by Gustavus supporting it? Like, what aspect of the college would be extending this funding, or if that is what you intended?
I think that's why it's super abstract and something for student academic affairs to look into as far as ideas for who might fund this. I don't know if marketing might be able to chip in a little bit, or even something tied up in Lund as far as like money associated with campus sports. With that, I yield.
I would actually disagree with this. I think most of our school is obviously has its problems with money, and I think that they should be focused more on our academics, and that as an organization, our job is to fund more club, intramural, and student groups. So I'd rather have that money coming from us because we have a discretionary fund to spend on organizations on our school. I yield.
Senator Lang?
I would like to echo the previous speaker. I yield.
No discussion on the motion. Senator Wicklund?
I do think this is important to ask Gustavus to step up a little bit, because Gustavus now as an institution is probably going to financially benefit in the long run from our rugby team's recognition. They're going to get more prospective students and possibly more donors from this. And that's why I think Gustavus should have some funds earmarked to help with the team that's going to be bringing in recognition to our school. I yield.
No discussion?
So I just have a question on the matter. So like to my understanding, Gustavus like club sports are, like Gustavus has like given Student Senate the duty to fund the club sport. Would anyone consider this being more of like a budget issue, like with how much money we have available to disperse to club sports? Or can you just clarify a little bit of like
Gustavus doesn't give us money, like we have earmarked funds from students who pay student activity fees. So
uh-huh.
It's not like Gustavus being like, here, Senate, allocate these to students. It's like, here, Senate, is the money from your constituents specifically earmarked for this purpose.
Okay. Sounds good. Yeah. That was my question. So
Discussion allowed.
So Senator Wicklund, can you just restate what the charge is? A charge for student academic affairs to look into language for encouraging Gustavus to help fund club sports as they gain more recognition. So just something like, and it's very abstract right now because like I said, I'm not sure where the funds might be coming from as far as like, should we consider marketing? Should we consider some sort of sports funding? That would, yeah, so it's abstract, really vague. But still interested in seeing what possibilities there are to get funding from different sources at Gustavus.
I yield.
Almost best on you.
And this is specifically for teams that are doing better?
Yes.
I feel like I'm kind of hesitant to like really encourage Gustavus to only fund the good teams. And I also feel like if we could encourage each team to fundraise more individually, or we could encourage Gustavus to give us more money in the student activities fee. But I do kind of echo previous speakers in that I feel like it is our responsibility to fund these groups. So it might be a good conversation to have in the student activities committee. But yeah, those are my thoughts. I yield.
So after this time we won't have any more.
Yeah. I just wanted to reiterate that the rationale behind wanting to get more funding from other places in Gustavus for this team doing well, and specifically teams doing really well, is that they're bringing the school recognition, and therefore they're going to be bringing the school probably more money, funding, donations, and prospective students. And that's why I think that they kind of earned some monetary recognition from Gustavus for that fact. So that's why I think it's important. And then just a reminder, like this is just a charge. It's not saying we necessarily support it, but it's just more exploratory to see if there are other offices that we think might be appropriate to start help funding groups like this. With that, I yield.
Any more discussion? Discussion. Seeing none, I'm going to move into a vote for the Student Academic Affairs Committee to look into the language, encouraging the college to looking to how to fund the teams on campus. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Those opposed say nay.
Nay.
Division.
Division has been called. Those in favor, raise your placards high and proud. Those opposed, raise your placards. The motion fails. The floor is yours, Senator Wicklund.
I yield.
We are back into new business. Do we have a new item for new business? New business. Senator Sam.
For tabling, where do we get the staff? Who's in charge to open the door for students?
To what?
For tabling. Who is in charge to open the student senate office for us to get the equipment?
I guess me.
So do we send you an email or something? Because I was tabling today, me and Young from Senator Young from 5 to 6.
And how is it the little cabinet thing?
The door wasn't open to get in the Senate office.
So
okay.
Two options. One option can be you ask a kid at the desk, can they open for you, or?
All I did was ASAN, but
right.
He did have the chance.
Or the admin director can store the equipment to the temporary storage if it's still available.
Mm-hmm.
Then the senators can go to the temporary storage to take
the tabling material.
So this is not the first time that has happened. I have 4:30 to 6:30 at information desk every Monday. And every time a senator will come to information, they're like, can you open the door for us? But information desk doesn't have key for the closets, but we have key for the storage and the tech. Every organization have their own keys. Or if Cassandra Nelson is in the office, and we can use her keys to enter one of the closets. So, with that, I agree.
Senator Tim?
I guess another option we could do too is like giving senators gold cards. This would be like super convoluted though, but like gold cards so they could just call campus safety to get let into the office.
No, we'll do temporary storage.
All right, sounds good.
Hang on,
that's my schedule.
Senator Sam, before we start to yield, all right. We are back again to new business. Do we have any more items for new business? New business. Seeing none, next we have announcements. Do we have any announcements tonight? Ombudsperson O'Neill.
We'll probably be voting on Thursday, so I'll send out a Google poll tonight, and I'll let you know if that does not end up happening.
What's the voting for?
The voting is for College View.
Thank you so much for the discussion on everything today. That's been wonderful. There was great discussion on both budgets. There was good discussion on everything. I didn't feel like I had to twist any arms, which was really good because I actually was able to twist arms. Side note, if you're a very talkative person and you can't talk on something, it's actually like it's horrible. That tested all of my patience there. And also, as a side note, from the bottom of our hearts, thank you so much from women's rugby. I know that it was something we were really worried about, looking at the funding and wondering whether or not we could fund it, and where we were gonna get the money from, and if we couldn't get the money, if we could even have a spring season and whatnot. So it really, the funding is going to something good, and it really matters to us, and we really do appreciate it as an organization here. So thank you. Besides that, have a wonderful rest of your week. How are you?
Chairman?
Can I see the diversity committee after this?
Next, I want to echo the sentiments of Copenhagen Fensen, saying that thank you for the discussion and also tonight. And the reminder that if you want to be part of the retreat of the MAPSIS on December 2nd, please approach I or Quinn for registration for that. Any more announcements for tonight? Announcements, seeing now the meeting is adjourned.
Oh.